Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya, Naram chaiva narottamam, Devim sarasvatim vyasam, Tato jayamudire, Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu, Nityam bhagavata sevaya, Bhagavat Yutama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Which verse do you want to chant? You got many. Which one do you want to chant? All of them? Or? Yeah, we're going to read them, but how about chanting? Okay. So I'll just read them first. Chapter what? 35. Okay. All right, you ready? Yeah, I've got it. Shigopya uchu Vama Bahu Krita Vama Kapolo Balgita Brur Adarpita Venam Kamadan Galabdivir Ashrita Margam Gopya Triati Yatra Mukunda Yoma Yama Vanita Saha Siddhar Vimitas Tad Upadarya Salajaha Kama Margana Samapita Chin Chitta Kasmalam Yayur Apasmita Nivya. Okay, that's a lot, huh? Shigopya Uchu Vama Bahu Krita Vama Kapalo Vagatabur Adararpita Vinum Komalanguli Bir Ashrita Margam Gopya Triati Yatra Mukunda Vyoma Yama Vanita Sahasidar Vismitas Tad Upadarya Salajaha Kama Margana Samarpita Chitaha Kashmalam Yayur Apashvitam Nivya Gopya Uvacha Vama Bahu Krita Vama Kapolo Vagatra Brur Adayarpita Vinum Komalangita Birashvita Margam Gopya Irayati Yatra Mukunda Vyoma Yama Vanita Saha Siddhar Vismitas Tad Upadarya Salajaha Kama Margana Samarpita Chitaha Kashvalam Yayur Apashvita Nivya Yomayana Vanita Sahasidhar Mismitas Tad Upadarya Satlajaha Malargena Samarpita Chitaha Kasmalam Yayur Upasmita Nivya Amabahu Kritavama Kapolo Bhagita Brur Komalang Gadubir Ashvita Margam Gopya Irayati Achamukundaha Vyoma Yama Vanita Sahasidhar Vimesvitas tad upadarya salajaha Mamargana samarpita chitaha Kashmalam yayur upasmita nivya Shigopya uchu Vamabahu kritavama kapolo Vamit Giyur Vidarpita Vinum Komalangulibir Ashvita Margam Opya Irayati Yatra Mukunda Vyomayana Vanita Sahasidhar Vismitastad Upadarya Salajaha Kama Margana Samarpita Chitaha Kashmalam Yayur Apasmita Nivyaha Madhajis, ladies, it's hard to hear. This is an amazing crowd. I want to thank you all for coming. And everybody, please pray that Krishna will speak through me, because otherwise there would be no value if I just speak my own, you know, whatever. But Krishna can do anything. A dumb man can speak eloquent poetry. A lame man can climb mountains. A blind man can see stars in the sky by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, a great scholar can't do anything, and a great athlete will fall on his face. And so the word for word, Shigopya Uchu. The gopi said, Vama, left, Bahu, on his arm, Krita, pudding. Vama, left. Kapola, his cheek. Valgita, moving. Vru, his eyebrows. Adara, upon his lips. Arpita, placed. Venum, his flute. Komala, tender. Angulibi, with his fingers. Asrita Margam, its hole stopped. Gopya, the gopis. Irayati, vibrates. Yatra, where? Mukunda, Lord Krishna. Vyoma, in the sky. Yana, traveling. Vanitaha, the ladies. Saha, together with. Siddhai, the Siddha demigods. Vismitaha, amazed. Tat, to that. Upadarya, listening. Sa, with. Lajaha, embarrassment. Kama, of lust. Margana, to the pursuit. Samarpita, offered. Chittaha, their minds. Kashmalam, distress. Yayu, they experienced. Apasmita, forgetting. Nivya, the belts of their dresses. Translation. The gopi said, when Mukunda vibrates his flute, he is placed to his lips. Stopping the holes with his tender fingers, he rests his left cheek on his left arm and makes his eyebrows dance. At that time, the demigoddesses traveling in the sky with their husbands, the siddhas, become amazed. As these ladies listen, they are embarrassed to find their minds yielding to the pursuit of lusty desires. And in their distress, they are unaware that the belts of their garments are loosening. It's quite a bit of information there. Purport, very short. Srila Jiva Goswami states that this chapter consists of a collection of statements the gopis made at various times as they stood in small groups here and there in Vrindavan. So it's not like they just all at once, the chapter has many, many statements. And they talk about the flute a lot because they're a little envious of the flute. The flute is always with Krishna. It's always touching his lips and they're not always with Krishna. They can't understand. Okay, I'll just read the next two more verses. This is the instruction here of our boss. Anta chitram abala shanute dam harahasa vasi stira vidut. Is it on the board there? You can repeat it, everybody, one time. Anta chitram abala samute dam harahasa udasi stira vidut. Nanda sunar ayam arta jananam. Narmado yari kujita vinu. Vindisho vraja visha mriga gavo. Venu vajja ritta chetasa arat. Danta dasta kavala jita kama. Nidritta likita chitram vivasan. O girls, this son of Nanda, who gives joy to the distressed, bears steady lightning on his chest and has a smile like a jeweled necklace. Now please hear something wonderful. When he vibrates his flute, Vraja bulls, deer and cows, standing in groups at a great distance, are all captivated by the sound, and they stop chewing the food in their mouths and cock their ears. Stunned, they appear as if asleep, as if figures in a painting. Let's repeat that all. Oh, girls, this son of Nanda, who gives joy to the distressed, bears steady lightning on his chest, and has a smile like a jeweled necklace. Now please hear something wonderful. When he vibrates his flute, Vraja's bulls, deer and cows, standing in groups at a great distance, are all captivated by the sound, and they stop chewing the food in their mouths and cock their ears. Stunned, they appear as if asleep, or like figures in a painting. Purport. The word stira vidyut, steady lightning, refers to the goddess of fortune, who resides on the chest of the Supreme Lord, Srivas. When the animals of Vrindavan hear the sound of the flute, they become stunned in ecstasy, and thus they stop chewing their food and cannot swallow it. The gopis, in separation from Krishna, marvel at the extraordinary effect of the Lord's flute playing. Srila Sridhar Swami, gives the following explanation of the compound word hara-hasa, which compares Lord Krishna's smile to a necklace. The word can mean he whose smile is brilliantly clear like a jeweled necklace, or he whose smile is reflected from his jeweled necklaces. Because while Krishna plays the flute, he bends his head down and smiles. Pretty good trick. The word can also mean he whose smile, like a jeweled necklace, casts the effulgence on his chest, and or he whose necklaces shine brilliantly, just like a smile. Om agana timirandasya ganangana shalakaya chaksura militanyena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swa Padantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavari Paschacha Desa Tarane Vansha Kalpa Cha Kripa Sindhu Vyabhacha Petitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Namo mahavadanyaya krishna prema pradayate krishnaya krishna chaitanya namani gora tuishe namaha. He krishna karuna sindhu dina bandhu jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostute tapta kanchana gorange radhe vrindavanishari vishabhanu sute devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jai. So, thank you. I don't know how many ways this is being broadcast. Years ago we heard that the Juhu Facebook page was number 5 in likes in the world. That's pretty amazing. People like Krishna, right? Because it's just pictures of Krishna. Books and stuff. So the flute of Krishna is like a main topic of the gopis all the time. many descriptions about it. One interesting story I'll tell, I was just at the Govardhan Eco Village, so they had this Madan Mohan deity. So I was looking, and his flute is, it comes out and it bends down. So I thought it's some kind of special flute, you know. But then Gauranga told us a story that Madan Mohan went to Karoli, where he's still there, and the king there was very attached to him. But his daughter, no, that was when they were still in, he was in Jaipur, and the king is very attached. And the daughter became, the princess became very attached. So when she was to be married to the king of Karoli, so she said, I want to take Madan Mohan with me. Father said, no, I want him here. The daughter is very attached, she's crying. So the father said, all right, and we'll put all three, Madan Mohan and Govinda and Gopinath, together in a line. And if blindfolded, you can identify Madan Mohan, then he can go with you. So she was very concerned. So Madan Mohan came in her dream and said, when you touch me, I will lower my shoulder. Which way you play the flute at? So he lowered his shoulder and the flute broke. So that's why the flute is bending down. It didn't put it back up. So he went to Karoli. So these flutes, very interesting. We read, of course, Krishna's flute music is bewildering to hear. It's mentioned, even the bulls and the cows, they become stunned. Also, Krishna can play it in different ways. So then I saw in some of the Krishna movies, you know, all the cows just come running, you know. Balaram told Yasoda, we don't have to worry. In the forest, we just play because the cows just follow Krishna, so nobody has to worry about him. Wherever Krishna is, they just follow. So he plays the flute. The gopis come running for the rasa dance. They leave everything in the middle of the night. They leave their bodies even. So the bodies stay home, but the gopis are actually with Krishna, spiritual bodies. Birds fall out of the sky. Rivers flow backwards. Stones melt just from the sound of Krishna's flute. What to speak of hearts melting. So we don't really know, you know, many people play the flute. Flute is a very sweet instrument, very charming, you know. But we can't possibly imagine what Krishna's flute is. Right. And a little bit. I sometimes would think when I'm listening to Prabhupada's harmonium playing, it's quite bewildering, right? If anybody's a musician. And we have so many expert harmonium players, that I never heard anybody play like Prabhupada. But it's actually some very high classical type of ragas and stuff. I was thinking he's channeling Krishna's flute, you know, it's just, and Prabhupada's chanting also. When Prabhupada chanted, and still, he charmed the hearts of all kinds of wild animal type people. And just by hearing his kirtan, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It was very, you know, simple melodies. He doesn't have what you would call like in modern beautiful voice or something. There's something far beyond beauty or, you know, music or anything It's completely transcendental. And so all kinds of people that some of the early devotees, somebody was saying at the Prabhupada Memorial there in Ujjain, they said most of them, they were coming just for the music. But there wasn't that much music. Prabhupada had a kartal, didn't have a harmonium. He didn't have a mridanga. He just had the kartal, and then someone gave him the one little half of a bongo drums, like a small tabla, you know, and two drums. But he had one. It's still in New Vrindavan. And he would play that, like, really amazing. But at first, he only singing. And the devotees, they had a few, the people in the crowd would play some kind of flute, or they started bringing all kinds of stuff, you know, and come to the temple and play their saxophones and trumpets, and somebody found a broken piano and dragged all the strings in the, and they would play that, bang on the strings. And Prabhupada tolerated, but they were coming because of Prabhupada's chanting. And they gave up all sinful activities, which was their, you know, their rebellious way of life was intoxication and sex life mostly. Vegetarian, many already. Gambling, casino gambling, they didn't have money, so they didn't bother with that. They were gambling with their life by intoxication, but they just gave it up very quickly by Prabhupada's chanting and Prabhupada's great later was his harmonium playing. And so it's a very amazing thing. So Krishna's flute, there's so many descriptions, I can't remember all of them, but throughout this chapter, somehow or other, they've collected, you know, all these things that the gopis said at different times. They just get together and talk about Krishna. They never talk about anything else. And they would talk about how he's dressed, and they would talk about, you know, the flute. And here they're talking how he... How do you play flute this side, right? So, you know, he puts his chin down and he smiles, and blowing on the flute, and his face is reflecting off the necklace, or his face is so glowing. Either way, it's all true. So many times we see how all these words can mean so many things, but they're all true. You know, when Lord Chaitanya explained the Atmarama verse to Sanatana Goswami later, he just took every word and gave all the dictionary definitions of every word. Dictionaries sometimes have 5-6 meanings for one word, and sometimes they're completely opposite. And he put it all together and combined them all in different ways, came up with 61 explanations, all concluding that devotional service to Krishna is the conclusion of however you look at it. And that bewildered the whole city of Varanasi. That he was speaking to Sanatana Goswami, and a few people were there. One of them was the main student of Prakasananda Saraswati, who was equal in scholarship to Prakasananda. But he had become charmed by Lord Chaitanya. So when he heard that explanation, that did it. He just lost it. So he went and told everybody about it. He just went telling everybody. He just explained in 61 different ways. Sarvabhauma could only do in 9 different ways. And that was like, no one else could do that. So the people came, everybody, huge crowds came the next day and begged Lord Chaitanya to say it again. So he did. Although it's not recorded in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's recorded that he did say it again. And that, so he bewildered, and everybody started chanting. After he'd been in that city for a couple months, nobody would listen to him, everybody laughed, except a few Vaishnavas. crazy people, they called him. Nobody was paying any attention to him. Nobody was, you know, he was keeping a low profile in order to attract these Mayavadis. They would talk about him. Why is this sannyasi not studying Vedanta? Why is he dancing and chanting? This is not proper behavior. Just like they said in Navadvip, he's not a proper Hindu. And so, after they heard that explanation, everybody started dancing and chanting Hare Krishna. And then he left. He had said, I have to take my goods with me. Nobody purchased, you know, the holy name. That's his goods. It's not a heavy load to carry, but... because sometimes a salesman's like that. He goes somewhere and nobody cares. He has to carry his goods around. Sometimes book distribution's like that, right? You get a big heavy bag and nobody takes a book for a couple hours. And you think, maybe I should go somewhere else. But then if I go somewhere else, it's so much trouble and I'm already here. And then finally somebody... We hear stories, devotees, after a whole day, and they're on their way to the car, and someone comes and buys the whole bag of books. Yeah. Because when they were actually crying like anything. So we have to cry for Krishna. We should, you know, if we could, when we hear about Haridas Thakur and those devotees, for the hearing the holy name, hearing the kirtan, they were like the gopis hearing Krishna's flute. Rupa Goswami made that poem, Tunde Tundavali Ratim Vitatune Tundavali Labdaye Karna Krodha Kadambini Gatayate Karnar Budebhyo Sriha Chetak Sangana Prangini Jvitayate Sarvendriyanam Katim No Jane Janita Kiyadbiramritai Krishneti Varna Dvayi. That when we hear the holy name, the tongue is dancing, the holy name is dancing on the tongue, we want to have thousands of tongues because it's so wonderful. How can we have 1,000 tongues? Be like Ravana with many heads. But we can get more people chanting, that's one way. Right? Like here we have a big crowd, so the kirtan becomes especially ecstatic, more people chanting. We want the whole world chanting. We want the whole world to hear Prabhupada chanting. Even Indraduna Maharaj, I heard him saying recently, he was saying it's very important to hear Prabhupada chanting. And hearing from the pure devotee, he said, you may have your favorite kirtan singer. Of course, he's one of them, but he's saying you have to hear Prabhupada's chanting. It's not ordinary. But anybody's chanting, is all devotees are pure. And we have so many great pure devotees chanting. We want to hear kirtan and we want to spread it all over the universe. It is spreading, but so many people are not chanting it. I just want to mention that one Saturday, by chance, myself and Sri Krishna Chaitanya Swami and one other devotee, we started chanting out there. And a few people joined, a few devotees joined that was in front of the sweet shop. And a huge crowd, that people there went wild, they loved it. But then last Sunday, last week, and we had the big crowd and the brahmacharis and mridangas, and then it became unstoppable. The devotees couldn't stop. And the people wouldn't stop. And more people were jumping and chanting. This is the power of the holy name. So I'm requesting, you know, don't think that I have to be here. I just stood there and jumped around as much as my old body could. But all these young people, they were so happy. You know, they're just out there eating and hanging around, you know. And out, when we go out also, stop in different places, let people join. Don't just walk really fast, you know. Like we always do. But anyway, this is the all-attractive features of Krishna. Can imagine rocks melting just from the sound of the flute. We hear about people singing in a high note, the opera singer, and it breaks the glass or something, right? Sound is very powerful. We learn by sound. If we hear different sounds, you know, ragas, there's a raga for morning, there's a raga for every time of the day, there's a raga for different moods, you know, and it's very scientific. You want to get, and everybody knows that music, you know, affects us. So different kinds of music, even at plants, they tested plants, tomato plants or something. They play some very sweet music and the plants kind of lean towards it. They play some punk rock and they shrivel up and turn away from it. And really loud, crashing stuff. We didn't try it with kirtan. I'm sure they would like it very much. Saw one ad once called Sonic Bloom. It's some kind of music you play in your garden and it makes everything grow better. And kirtan will do that. You know, we take care of Tulsi, we have a lot of kirtan in her room. She'll grow much better. So, this Krishna's flute, of course, is, I don't think we can hear it. One boy in Hawaii, he was telling me, when I smoke marijuana, then I hear Krishna's flute everywhere. I told him, I smoked that stuff, but I never, you know. He said, no, you didn't get this really good stuff. And so he's hearing something, you know, your ears start ringing and they think they've heard of Krishna's flute. But it didn't inspire him to surrender to Krishna and run towards Krishna, so he'd run away from Krishna. But the gopis, when they heard Krishna's flute, they came running. And then when Krishna told them to go home, they said, wait a minute, you know, you called us and you can't send us home. You know, our husbands are going to be mad. But the husbands didn't know. Some got stopped, but they actually all were in their spiritual body. So the rocks are melting. The Gandharvas that are flying over in their airplanes, they're, you know, they're the musicians of the heavenly planets. So even their music, we would, I mean, we're bewildered by just any rock and roll or jazz music, you know, people go running to it, right? They're crazy, you know, but the music affects you in different ways. It may, you know, agitate your lust so you feel happy. It may make you cry, you know, right? Even ordinary music. They don't know ragas, but somehow they know certain music will make you sad, certain will make you happy, you know. Certain will make you dull-headed, like they play in the supermarket or something. So, you know, in Bali, in the supermarket, they play Om Bhur Bhuvaha Swata Sabatu Varna. All day long they play that. But mostly they play some, you know, dull-headed music, so you just buy more things. You know. They're trying to control the mind. They use different music. So Krishna's flute and kirtan. We have different moods of kirtan. Some is relaxing, sit down. Some is make you dance. Prabhupada liked rhythm instruments. They make you dance. And he said dancing produces bhakti. So we see a lot of bhakti was being produced here at the Guru Puja every day, actually. And this is a symptom of, first symptom of ecstasy, that you want to dance. But so these Gandharvas flying over, they hear Krishna's flute, and they fall out of their airplane. You know, they're just looking, you know, what is that sound? And even though they're the greatest musicians, and born with unlimited musical skills, and they entertain the demigods, you know, they get bewildered by Krishna's flute. They can't find out rocket this is, you know, what it, and they just fall out of their airplane. So this is what should happen when we hear the holy name. When Lord Chaitanya got initiated by Ishwara Puri and he started chanting the holy name, he went mad. And he couldn't figure out what was going on. And he went to Ishwara Puri and he said, "What kind of mantra have you given me? I'm going mad." He said, "Good, you're supposed to." And then he back to Navadvipa and he's just mad. "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, where is Krishna?" And all the devotees became very happy to see that, you know, he's become a devotee because they were praying for that. And he would say, "Thank you for your prayers, but just wait, I'll show you. When I become a devotee, I'll be the greatest of all the devotees." So Krishna, the flute is in Vrindavan. He doesn't play the flute. Although I think sometimes something goes on in Dwarka, but we're not sure. But that's his Vraj Leela. And Krishna's, you know, boyhood. And he plays the flute. He didn't have any weapons. He wasn't a king. He's the king of Vrindavan, but he didn't flaunt that. He didn't, you know, his father was a king, but he's a prince. But nobody thought of him, "We have to love him because he's the prince." They just loved him. And something I thought of the last few days, you've probably read Prabhupada's Leelamrita. You read about this family that Prabhupada stayed with when he first went to America, Sally Agarwal. So she just left her body a few days ago. Obviously she's not young, you know. Her husband had already left. So I was thinking about her relationship with Prabhupada. No one else had such a relationship. They had signed a sponsor for many sadhus at the request of the father, but no one ever came. So Prabhupada posted a letter right before he got on the ship, 35-day trip. She got the letter 4 days before he arrived. Indian Post. Maybe Prabhupada sent it by, you know, but no, it had to be by airmail because by ship it wouldn't get there. So they thought, "What are we going to do?" You know, she had no idea that this man is coming. But then she said after, this was that month that Prabhupada stayed there, that was like the best time of my life, the most happy time. She had no idea even what a sannyasi was. So she wasn't like nowadays, we come from in the Indian people, you know, they bow down, they don't care what kind of, as long as you have the dress, you know. And they give donations and everything. She had no idea. All she knew was this is a friend of her father-in-law, who probably she didn't know very well either, you know, because he lived in America. I never heard that she went to India, you know. But she greeted him and they arranged for a place for Prabhupada to stay. And then Prabhupada just played with her children. And there's that very ecstatic picture of Prabhupada playing with her son. You know, and this huge smile, like unbelievable smile. And they arranged, you know, she thought, well, people are going to wonder, he goes out for a walk, what is this? Because they're in a small town, America. But in that time, even New York City, no one seen a sannyasi. The only Vivekananda came there and spoke at some convention and left, you know. Nobody's walking the streets. Only just ordinary, typical Americans were there. Her husband was a professor, so there was a very few Indians. And, you know, a few other species, but... So she arranged for him to speak at the church and some college. And so they got an article in the local newspaper to explain him. But she just loved him. And she taught Prabhupada, you know, about America. She had funny stories to tell. Prabhupada had to come to her house for bathing, where they stayed. It was only a room. One day the water was coming out on the floor under the door. Prabhupada was washing his clothes on the floor, like you do in India, you know. But in America they have this stupid bathtub, and the only drain is in the bathtub, and the floor doesn't have a drain, you know. And so if you get it wet, you know, if you come out, and it's a crazy system. But And Prabhupada maintained a correspondence with her for many years. And there's one letter here that he wrote. Her daughter was a little bit older, 3 or 4 years. And she called Prabhupada Swami Jesus. And Prabhupada wrote to her and said, "I'm very honored that your daughter has given me this title, Swami Jesus." Jesus is very wonderful. He was preaching the mission of God, and I'm also doing that. And, you know, just like that, that type of relationship. There's no record that he preached to her or talked about Krishna very much, and, you know, told her to chant. No, that he chanted in her house or anything. He just was like uncle. In India, I guess it would be an uncle, you know, the friend of your uncle, the friend of your father-in-law is your uncle, you know. It doesn't have to be like blood relationship or something. So she just treated him like that. Even though she's an American girl, she treated Prabhupada very respectfully, but not because of awe and reverence. You know, like after that, when Prabhupada went to New York and he was with Dr. Mishra, Dr. Mishra knew he's a sannyasi, he had to be nice to him, you know. And then he had disciples, so they had some idea he's a teacher. Although at first the devotees were very casual, they didn't have that type of relationship. Prabhupada was serving them. But Prabhupada cooked. She said she saw Prabhupada cooking, he liked with that cooker. And she thought, "I could see we would like that lunch also." So she asked, and Prabhupada cooked for the whole time he was there, for their lunch, for the family. And like he did in the beginning, he was serving. He just charmed her completely by his just being so nice. So she's a very special person, and you know, we were just to ask everybody should pray for her, and I can't find the letter right now. So, and she became good friends with many devotees. She started coming to the Prabhupada festivals in New Vrindavan and talking about Prabhupada. So she became very friendly with Malati. Actually, devotees went to their town. It's a small town, but they went and chanted. And they went to her house with kirtan. And she was really shocked. She said, "My husband was dancing. I've never seen him dance before." She said, so I have the letter here. Prabhupada said, "My dear daughter, Sally, 1965. So this is, he came in the end of September, middle of September, stayed there 1 month. This is written in November 9th, middle of November. I'm still more glad to learn that you are going to observe the third birthday of Miss Kamala Agarwal on Saturday the next. On this occasion, I should have presented her some ornaments, but as I am a sannyasi, I can simply offer my blessing for her long life and good prosperity. She cannot now read, otherwise at least I should have presented her with a set of my books for her. So you can set aside one set of my books for her future reading when she will grow up a beautiful and educated girl with full good consciousness. I think from the letters, from the diary, Prabhupada kept some books at her house, like storage. So he's telling her, sometimes he would write to her and say, send some books to such and such place. So he's telling you, keep one set, the first canto, for her. I am obliged to your good daughter for awarding me the good degree of Swami Jesus, which is actually a great honor for me. Sometime the Lord speaks through innocent child and take this honor. I take this honor as sent by Lord Jesus through an innocent child free from all formalities of the current society. So Sally was also like that. I mean, she had no formalities with Prabhupada. She had, it was just a family affair, you know. Maybe Bhagatji and Vrindavan or something like that. Very unique, special personality. Lord Jesus preached the message of God, and I have taken up the same mission. And it would be good luck for me if I can follow the footprints of Lord Jesus, who preached the message of God in spite of all persecution. Lord Jesus is a living example how one has to suffer in this material world simply for the matter of preaching the message of God. In Bhagavatam, there is another example of Lord Jesus, like Lord Jesus. He is Prahlad Maharaj, a boy of 5 years old. But because he was a great devotee of God in preaching the message of God among his little classmates, his atheistic father tried to kill him. So the atheistic class of men are always inimical to the devotees of God, even though such devotees happen to be atheist son like Prahlad. He wrote many letters to her. They're all like that. Just completely never preaching anything. Just so she's completely charmed. She must be some, obviously some great person. This is what we... The Vrijbasis also have that relationship with Krishna. There's no formalities. Even the gopis would just say, no, Radharani is the queen of Vrindavan, you're nobody, you know. They didn't think, that they have to be friendly with Krishna because he's the prince, you know. Otherwise the king will get mad at him. Nothing like modern life would be. Nowadays, the so-called prince of just some country, the one famous country, England, people bow down. They just because they're a prince, they don't do anything, right? They just because they're the prince, they get all kinds of reporters all the time, and if they have a child, they pay millions of dollars for a picture. You know, it's all business. But with Krishna, they just loved him. Because he's so beautiful and so nice, and especially his flute playing, but his talking is the same way. When Krishna talks, melts the hearts. So I just remembered Sundar Chaitanya Maharaj was talking about that yato yato yamitato nishingo. So Prahlad was seeing him everywhere. And when he said, is he in this pillar? Oh yeah, And Prahlad was very happy to see Krishna everywhere. Hiranyakasipu also did, but he didn't like it. Because when Nrisimha appeared and Hiranyakashipu would try to attack him, he would disappear, and then he'd be roaring on the other side, and he'd turn around and go that way, and he'd disappear again. Krishna did that when Duryodhana, when they tried to arrest him. And then Duryodhana was chanting like that also. He's everywhere. Where is he? He's over here. He's over there. He's over here. And then Krishna suddenly just was at the door and saying, "You think I'm alone, you fool. I'm not alone." So he just, everywhere Duryodhana looked was Krishna. And he was trying to attack him, but he would be gone. He'd be somewhere else. And then when he'd look around, he'd be everywhere and he wouldn't know which one to attack. So the gopis, they're seeing Krishna everywhere. They're looking. He must be somewhere, right? Hey, what is it? Hey, Devaki, you know, what's that? The Goswamis? The Gos. Hey, Radhe, Rajadevike, Chalalite, Hey, Nanda Sunokata, Shri Govardhana Kalpate. Where is he? He must be over. And the Goswamis are running around Vrindavan like that. He's got to be somewhere. Must be here. Maybe they heard something. The gopis, when they looked for Krishna when he left the Rasa dance, they're asking everybody, "Did you see him?" And they're looking behind every bush and every tree. Where can he be hiding? But he hides from them. So we should know that Krishna's in everyone's heart. That way we can try to preach to everyone. Yare deke taha Krishna, tahe kahe Krishna upadesh. Wherever you go and whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. This is for all of us. I just saw Jayapataka Maharaj post. He's sitting on the stage and he just went one country where he hasn't been for many years, and so the big crowds, a lot of devotees there. And they had that verse and it said, "If you do this, I will be very happy." Whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. Be like the gopis. They just talk about Krishna. "Did you see Krishna? Do you remember?" I remember one of my godbrothers, every day he'd come and tell me how the deities were dressed. And he remembered like all the different details and colors. I was like shocked, you know. I mean, I like it when I look at them, but if someone asked me an hour later, I can maybe remember the color or something. And we have to take pictures, you know. But talk about Krishna. Just chant the holy name. When you see a crowd of people, I was feeling really depressed last night that I didn't just go out there by myself and start chanting. And then I thought, well, I don't have a car till, I don't have anything. And it was late and I'm tired, I have to get up. So every excuse. But please, tonight, let's get a party like we did last week and chant the holy name out there. For the sweet shop, the people that work there, they like it. And the shoewallahs. So be like the gopis and remember and hear Prabhupada's chanting. It's definitely coming from the spiritual world. So it's charmed, you know, everybody. We had a tour in China and Lokanath Swami came and he had a lot of musicians with him. So he's chanting one melody. There was a little, you know, for the new people. And this Mataji that arranged the whole thing. "No, tell him, Prabhupada melody is the best. That one's the best for Chinese people. That's the best one." You know, the simple one. You know, so everybody can join in. For Prabhupada by himself, he would chant some pretty far out. You know, when he chanted bhajans, I don't know if anybody could follow. You have to be really to concentrate to even hear that if you're reading along with it. But for public, everybody join in. That's what we do. We go out in the temple room because so many guests are coming. Everybody join. Everybody chant. Because that's going to save the world. Kali is working very hard. The enemy is Kali. And the enemy is not, you know, whoever people think their enemy is, right? Everybody has some group or some political party or some country or some boss or some family member they think is my enemy. No, this is just our karma. The enemy is Kali, who's trying to make everybody forget Krishna by creating all these distractions. Some of the distractions are disasters, they attract a lot of attention. But also all kinds of, Maya provides all kinds of seemingly nice things to distract us. That's how Maya comes, the most beautiful object of sense gratification. But there's nothing more beautiful than Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Sita, Ram, Lakshman. When Ram came to Ayodhya, what's Sita's place? When he came to that city, Maithili, you know, the Sita was looking out the window at him, and the demigods were looking at Sita, and they were just totally stunned by her beauty. He couldn't think, he couldn't move, he couldn't do anything. And Ram just saw her and thought, okay, I'll marry her. They were eternal partners. But everyone in Ayodhya, everyone in the city, all the demigods, everybody could see her and was just stunned. So that's the holy name, that's Krishna. People get affected, you know, according to something, but it's always purifying us, it's purifying everyone who hears it. If they dance, they make so much advancement. If we can get out there and make people dance, they get so much benefit. They get so happy from it. They never forget it. Every time they come back, they'll be looking, where is it? Chin. So I think time is a little over. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Krishna's flute, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada's kirtan, Ki Jai. Shri Radha Rasa Bihari Ji, Lalita Vishaka Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Rakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. And all glories to all the assembled devotees. Thank you for hanging in there, and pray that, you know, the rest of this life, which is probably not much, I can remember Krishna and get the good fortune to try to talk about him again and again. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Who wants to make kirtan now? Somebody lead kirtan. Somebody make kirtan. Huh? Chant. Get, take the microphone. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.